I have a particular psalm on my mind this morning that I hope to cover in some depth. There's some other verses that kind of set that up, so I'll hit those as well. Not knowing his speak, yeah, I keep going back to Brother Billy not being able to, the words that he's trying to speak not coming out right and all, or not finding the right words and all, but I wanted to express to this church that I personally feel so much at home here in this church. This is my home church, they call it. That's what their terminology we use, a member or a preacher's home church in all the local body where their membership lies. There's when someone joins a church, there's some getting used to. There's a feeling that you have when you join a church that hits you, or you wouldn't join it in the first place, of course. But and then obviously being called pastor is throws a whole different facet on that. It's that itself and all, but at some point, and this is a very comforting feeling to me. Now, I don't know, this may come as a warning, because I do feel so comfortable in speaking to each person, not also to you as a whole, as a congregation, but to each of you about whatever may need to be spoken. And I feel comfortable in that. And some of you I have and all, and I think that's a good thing, but I feel completely comfortable. Whereas at some point, you know, I don't know them that well. I can't talk like that, or maybe I shouldn't say that. Well, at this point, I feel completely comfortable saying anything to you. So maybe that is fair warning. I don't know. But it is a peaceful, comforting feeling to me that I have felt when I was in other churches. Serving here as pastor, it is a great comfort to me. And I don't know when that happened. Maybe obviously it was over time. It's fixing to go on 3 years that Kathy and I have been here and that I've been pastor. But to just feel like you're coming home, because this is like a whole new family. In the year that we joined and that I became your pastor, it was like joining a whole new family and all. I felt a love. There was a connection. There was a driving force in it. Obviously, I think that you saw and acknowledged in our coming over here on Wednesday nights and on Sunday and so forth. We felt that. I pray that y'all felt it from the other end, that God was in it. But personally, I feel that. And that is a great comfort. And you talk about something that will assist me in preaching to a congregation. That's it. And God blessing that. And God knows in my heart that I don't take it for granted. So I appreciate that. And I hope that you all feel the same way toward me, that you can come to me for anything. Each person has a different level of what they would like to share with publicly, obviously, or with even anyone. I've heard people last Sunday here, someone, I've not really told anybody this, but, and then would tell, he told me something and all. And so I appreciate that. And so I'm better able to pastor a church with that type of communication. But so that being laid aside, then I want to go first this morning to, get on the right page here. My problem has been really in speaking is that I'm so dry from the medications I've been taking. So drink lots of water, which I guess is good for me, but, you continue to pray. Lord, bless us in this. Psalm 66, to begin with. Psalm 66. No, and I don't know why I was pulled to this, but I've heard preachers get up and say this, so I will. It has nothing to do with the subject or the psalm that I have on my mind, and yet maybe it will. And that being said, that song that Sister Pam requested that I had never seen or sung in my life, this psalm also came to mind from that song. So let me read a couple of verses here and move on. The 16th verse says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." So there's a lot in that. There's no need in telling someone to come in here, sit down and listen if they don't fear God with a reverential fear. If they don't believe in God, if they think the gospel's foolishness, does no one any good. And could cause strife. And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I've tried to do more of that. Again, we're not to get up here as preachers and talk about our sinfulness and what we've done and so you shouldn't do that and so forth. Now, you talk about Jesus Christ, what he's done for us to wash us of that sin, of course, and all, but some of the personal experiences that you have, if God leads a minister to preach based on those, then you follow the Spirit and do that. You don't get into a long bunch of I don't know if it's a word, but comedic stories. Once the congregation laughs at one thing, then, oh, okay, I'll build on that laughter and go on to something even funnier, say no. To get that human reaction and all. That's not preaching. Amen. That's not preaching. But to make a point, sometimes you do that. I've been preached sermons where that was the only thing someone remembered was that point that I humorously injected into the sermon. Don't spend too much time just on this, but he says here, "I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. He was magnified, exalted with my tongue." When I cried out to him, that's what I want there. In many respects, song number 360 that we sang a few minutes ago that I'd never seen, it talked about laying sin aside. And I have made a conscious decision to lay that aside, and yet still sinful and still committing sin, but not abiding in it. I'm not just deep down in that. I've made the decision, and we have to do that, not to be in sin, live in sin. Let that overwhelm us. Live in glory to God, that's glorifying to him, and he is magnified, lifted up, and extolled and exalted. Now, this next verse is what I think about so much with me personally. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I regard iniquity in my heart, if that is what shines the light in me, is that iniquity, the sinfulness and all, and I'm dwelling in it then, the Lord will not hear me. That's my fear. Now, if the Lord touches us and our sin-sick soul is longing to be out of that, whatever that is, and set that behind us, repent correctly of that, then he'll answer that prayer. I believe he will. He will come because he reads into our heart. He knows my heart. I cannot just be committing sin, living a sinful life, and, well, here, let me utter a prayer and all, and to kind of hang on to that and then continue in that. You know, that doesn't work. He reads into our heart. I might say it audibly so someone can hear me. Oh, I heard him praying a beautiful little prayer there, but God sees into our heart. He knows. And then we can see it, I believe, in our lives when he blesses us so abundantly that we are not in that condition. But verily God hath heard me. Verily, truly, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Those are some good verses there for our life, for our lives. And so much in the psalm that I'll end up in, and in the condition and the position of our lives where that psalm, where the psalmist is, this applies to it. And this is psalm, his prayer, his writing anyway. So now let me jump to Psalm 20:29, and I'll try to get into this and move on to where I want to go. Psalm. Well, that's earlier. Let me find it. 20. Well, that's not the one I wanted. I'm going to just go to, let me jump instead to Deuteronomy 4. That wasn't the psalm that I needed and couldn't find it. I don't want to waste time. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The verse, I believe just one verse here. It says in the ninth verse, I don't believe I need to back up and prep this. Talking to this nation, this great nation, mentions it in the seventh, eighth verse. And he says here in the ninth verse, Deuteronomy 4, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. In this, and after, really, it's not even months, it's years that I've had some of the people who are in the church that are elderly ask, and I've shared this with you all, well, why am I still here? Why is that person or that person gone and they've left and I'm still here? I have no purpose. I'm ready to go. I know where I'm going. They still have faith and hope and so forth. But it seems like it's been more and more that's been on my mind, and so I've tried to look at this, and you don't always have an answer for that. I have a list of answers, but sometimes they don't need that. I know what they're looking for, and I know what they want. And they want the same thing that I do, is to be in heaven. And yet you need to be able to tell them of their worth and their purpose in still being here in their 80s, 90s, and all. And so I'll go in a moment to Psalm 71 when the psalmist was up in years, advanced in years, but there's several verses that talk about the gray-headed and their worth and their purpose, and certainly this is one of them, is that they're to teach and to say those things, to teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, Now I can certainly say this freely, that my mother was one, and I tell people, oh yeah, she'll tell you her opinion whether you ask for it or not. She'll tell you what she thinks about whatever you're doing or whatever the situation is. And yeah, sometimes that was irritating. Most of the time I just tried to just sit there and I tried to think about it. I think, well, my goodness, she was right in whatever that was. Sometimes it's been we're several years later and Kathy's run into this on like household things. It's like, oh my goodness, your mom was right. This works better than this way and all. And so, but we're to learn from those who are older. That are those that are live in righteousness. Now, just because one is advanced in years, we can't just automatically attribute wisdom to them. You witness that. People didn't follow the Apostle Paul just because he was advanced in years. They certainly didn't follow him because he was an excellent, fantastic speech giver, speaker, because he was not. He didn't come with excellency of speech. But they followed him because he preached the gospel, Christ and him crucified, and he lived in a life in glory to God. He had set aside those things, the sinfulness and so forth, and yet was still a sinner. He said the chief of sinners. So they're to teach us. And yet talking to someone, answering that question, why am I still here? So far, a young person has, one of low age has never asked me that, but there are some that might have done that I'm thinking of, who are no longer with us, and for me to just to say, well, we're all to glorify God. We give God glory in our lives, then. You can see it in their faces. It doesn't answer. It doesn't give them comfort and all when they're just ready to go. And you pray for them that they'll have a moment of peace in that. Now, in Psalm, let me go to Psalm 78. And this speaks of the aged and the generation to come. Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and will utter dark sayings of old. Dark sayings of old. Dark sayings are hard questions or proverbs. It's a tied knot. So he said, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old to teach. There's certain verses of scripture. It's hard to balance that. And then preacher will add about seven other verses to back that up or to prove that. And sometimes it's confusing. God has to bless us to understand that. Dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers told us. Our fathers told us. So I think of the elderly, and I think back when I was a young child and growing up in the church, prior to joining the church and then after, that I had in the church, I could look around and see three or four generations above me in the church, right there, coming to church. Three or four generations. That gets up pretty old, that fourth generation up from me even as a child. But my parents, grandparents, and then my great-grandparents were not around, but others in the church that were of that generation and so forth. And then so that changes. And they teach us things. They teach us things in even just simply watching them, what they do. It's like, oh, she does that particular thing every Sunday. There must be a reason for that. And you watch and learn, and people teach, and they're faithful. You see them in their, you see, and I saw them experienced trials and troubles, and I've watched how they came through those, knowing that, well, one day I might experience that, and I want to see how they handled it. Now, I should have gone and talked to these people, but I was shy enough as it was. I wasn't going to go talk to an old person that I didn't even know as a young child. But I watched and saw that how they came through that. I'd see someone else who maybe would go through a similar trial, see how they went through it. And so we're taught those things. But we don't just watch them to see how they go through that. We see the hope that they have in old age after they've experienced all of this. We see that and we're taught that. And they teach us. They taught this here and these dark sayings. We're told that because their fathers told them. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. So to show that, and we'll see in Psalm 71 in a moment, it reiterates you're here to continue to show His strength, the praises of the Lord, His wonderful works that He hath done. You show that. You show that to me today, and you are showing it. Now, sometimes we see it in the elderly when they're no longer here, and we can't tell them. But we know, what a comfort to know. They're no longer asking that question, are they? Why am I here? They're where they always wanted to be. And I'm speaking of the elderly, the young as well. But to show the Lord and His wonderful works. And this is on a personal level as well. Things that you have experienced, things that you've done, good or bad, and you see where you are today. You see His mercy. I don't deserve the comfort of feeling so comfortable in coming to see my family, the church, in what I've done to Jesus Christ. But what I've done to Him here is nothing to what we did to Him at Calvary on the cross. In that crucifixion, why He was there, putting on Him the wrath of God. But in our lives, we can do this. And so let me move on and get to that 71st Psalm. But for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. We do this today. Our children are taught. I see it. I see it here in this church. They're taught and all. They know what happens Sunday morning. This is the regiment and all. They don't stop complaining, maybe. I don't want to get dressed and so forth. Whatever it is that it is, but they know the drill. That's what my parents. You know the drill. Just do it. You know, and you do that. You don't succumb to, well, I don't want to go and all. No, they will appreciate it when you drag them to church, and at some point. Oh, I'm not dragging them. They want to come. They want to come. I see that too. I don't want to point out anybody in this, but I appreciate that I see the desire in their eyes when they come to the house of the Lord. That the generation to come might know them, even the children. And we're talking about these dark sayings, teaching them in the church. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. It goes on and on and on. On down the line. And I'll end with this, that they might set their hope in God. There's the reason. You keep on doing it. Keep teaching. It's hard. It's hard. Maybe that's why we're blessed to stop at one child. Kathy and I always say, Lord knew how many children we could handle, and that was it, because of His, if I might say, His uniqueness. But because it's difficult, but it's worth the work and the effort. I commend those that do it in the Lord. Do it. That they might set their hope in God. I'll just tack that onto that. Do it that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And I've seen the children and the parents that have done that. God had to bless it. He had to. Because all of us have the human nature that fight against all that good. And yet we see it. And the results of that, of our children, and then our children have children, and so on, as this is talking about, so that they might see the hope in God. It's not that I can say, oh, after, 17 and a half years, oh, my child's still, they're on the front row at church and so forth every Sunday. It's not something, a feather in our cap or anything. It's they're there seeing the hope in God. It's for them. And they're still looking to the older generation and learning here in the church where they should. Where they should. Now let me go to Psalm 71. And in reading this, it's one of the few psalms without the heading at the top. Most of them to the chief musician and so forth. But the psalmist here, I'll go ahead and say, so as we read this, I'll begin reading a psalm and I have preconceived notions about it. I picture, well, like when I'm reading something about the Apostle Paul doing something and I'll picture him in a certain way. It's funny now, I picture him as always being old and, you know, at the end of his race being run. But when he was in the Sanhedrin and so forth in Jerusalem, he was not old. He was very powerful and so forth. And so we need to know the situation. The psalmist here, as he wrote this, was advanced in years. He was old. He was an old man. Let's just say that. So when you read it, reading it in that from that perspective, then there's it's different than thinking, okay, well, because I think of David, David as a little child, David and Goliath and so forth, young and growing up. Well, he's an old man. The psalmist is an old man here. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. From my youth. He is no longer in his youth. And we'll read some other verses that prove he's of age here. And so in reading that, okay, well, that's like many of the other prayers he's prayed. Very, the words, oh my goodness, so strong. And the rock and my fortress, deliver me in thy righteousness. In thee do I put my trust, but knowing he's advanced in years and now thinking, okay, what all has he experienced in his life? And so then this is his prayer. He still trusts in the Lord God. It seems like greater than maybe he even did years before. I don't know. I can't read into his heart. Couldn't. But this is his prayer when he's advanced in years. He is still trusting in the Lord. In the Lord do I put my trust, and knows to whom to pray and who will answer his prayers. I believe we grow stronger in that because of the experiences we've had. Now, there are many young people that have experienced things that I haven't experienced. A lot of good, and a lot of sad things. The one that just came to mind is I believe yesterday there was a service for someone who had lost a child. Kathy had an ectopic pregnancy and all. Yeah, I understand that. And we believe in when life begins and natural life and so forth and all. But I've not experienced that. So I'm not saying that you have to grow old to have these severe, strong experiences in life. And so I can learn also from the young. I don't want to diminish that, avoid that. But to see how someone still exists in the church, in their lives, the faithfulness, actually in this case just now, Brother Billy popped in my head because I mentioned every time I have called him, I've never thought, whoa, he sounds kind of down or low or something. Never. Always up in whatever he has experienced. And so I think of the psalmist, advanced in years, and still this is the prayer he prays. That's wonderful. And so that's who I want to pattern my life after. I want to show, and we'll get to that verse that says this again, that repeats that thought that we are to show the Lord and all his goodness and the wonderful things he's done in our lives, in our old age. I pray that I'm not some bitter, grumpy old man, you know, when I grow older. I can't see that happening. And when my dad died, he still had that, awful sense of humor, that wonderful sense of humor that he had the day he died. And also, I want that. That shows that we have something to rejoice in life. Don't go around frowning and moaning, looking down. No, we have so much better than that in our lives. And we look at the elderly and realize, well, oh, they're way advanced, more advanced than I am. And just look, I have something still to look forward to here. So, and that's in this psalm. But that's the psalmist here saying these things. Thou art my trust from my youth. Sixth verse. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. So that long time up, been all the way up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. He's proclaimed that. That is, you know, the results. His doing this show the same results as that song that Sister Pam requested. As I read the words, the poem in there of putting aside that sin, making that decision in our lives, not to save ourselves eternally, but because we are saved eternally, but to do that. And to show that my praise shall be continually of thee. It glorifies God. And then he says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. But thou art my strong refuge. So I am as a wonder unto many. That means he is conspicuous, a miracle, a prodigy. And he has been fitted to be seen. That's what that word wonder means, all of that. You kind of work through that definition, though. He's conspicuous. It's someone to watch. If it's a miracle, if he is a miracle, if someone, the elderly, someone who's old, is a they are a wonder that is conspicuous, that have been fitted to be seen, to look upon, to learn from. Whether or not they have the mind to audibly teach something to the younger. I think about what all the women teach the women, the men teach the men, and vice versa, and all. But if you don't have the mind to do it or the personality, then they're still being taught. You're still a wonder. You're still a miracle of old age. He was in his old age. Someone to behold, to see, and to learn from. And yet to still, as in Psalm 78 said, to teach those dark sayings, the knots that we might get tied up in, and that we learn from them. And yet those that live in righteousness, and I can't think of the verse now, but it says that those that are gray-headed, that live in righteousness, there's a stipulation there. You don't follow every old person. Every time I say old person, I'm trying not to look at someone who's aged in the congregation now. I'm trying to look at someone young. So, you know who you are. Yet, when is that? Because I tell you what, I mentioned all those generations I saw when I was a child. They're not here. They're not here. We're growing into those generations. And so all along, those that are not beneath us, but in age chronologically, the other generations coming before us, they're learning from us. Looking how they should be, how, and they should have been taught that by their parents and then by the church, to look upon those who are of age to see how they do it. And then corrected, like, well, don't do it that way. You know, you teach them these things. In their lives. But those generations are no longer here. And before you know it, I remember at one meeting, Elder Hugh Montgomery was preaching, and it was many years ago, but he was up in years, and he surely is now, but he mentioned kind of this on the same thread that he said he looked at, I know at the time he looked at Elder Bill Walden and Hewlin Bass and said, well, now we're that oldest generation. And so they had somehow moved into that and looked back and then realized, oh my, we're it. And also you move into that. God blesses us to do that. You're not just like here, you know, 20 one day and then bam, you're 87. And all, you grow into that and you experience it, but you, how much easier is it when the aged is in the church and hears of this hope that they should have and continue to have? So let me get to that part quickly. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Now here we go. Here's another proof text of this. Ninth verse. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. I have no doubt that sometimes those that are advanced in age, the elderly, feel that way, that they have been possibly cast off in the time of old age and forsaken. Because a lot of times there's some much aloneness. There are times there's just not going to be anyone that is around all the time. I'm fortunate in that I love my alone time. And we used to live in a house that was big enough where I said we have to have it big enough, and Kathy and I both agreed where we could get away from one another. She's in some other part of the house, I don't even know where, and I'm over here in this one, and we were fine with that. And I had my alone time. My older sister was not that way. She wanted people around all the time. I think she wanted an audience, but to be seen. She wanted to be that wonder, I think. But I want my alone time and all. And yet, I've been shown... As much as I try to humorously say, well, okay, I've decided I'm going to be the first one to go. And yet I think, well, you know, I like being alone. Maybe I do better. I think about those things now. Don't I dwell on it? But I have experienced, and I think God does this for us. He causes us to experience some of that, the aged experience, maybe some of the loneliness. Well, you know what? Maybe this isn't all it's cut out to be. And I believe he does that, teaches us that, so we can be merciful to those that are up in years. And also that when we grow to that time, that he makes it easier. Oh, the Lord is so merciful and gracious. And sometimes I just don't see it. Don't give him the praise for it. And he forgives me even for that. And then I'm reminded that Jesus Christ died for that sin too. He died for that. He didn't leave that one off. He didn't skip that sin of when I forget to see the mercy of God. That put him on the cross as well. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Then he says, remember, he's of age here. Let them be confounded, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. This old man is, that's what he has determined to do. This is what we should determine to do. I should do it now. I've loved getting these surgeries, if only to alleviate the pain, obviously, but if only to be have said to me, you're really kind of young for this surgery. I mean, two of them come along, so I've really loved that. But I know I'm getting up there, but I think of those that are in their 80s, 90s, 20, 30 years older than me, so I'm still coming along. But I should determine this as well. We all should this way. And I see that in many of you. The strength of God and the firmness of your beliefs and going on from the trials. And I can tell you've made that decision. You're firm in it. God's blessed you and you've moved on. Do we forget all that stuff? No, we're like the Apostle Paul. We remember it. I remember what all I've done. But as I have more experiences, I say, oh my goodness, those seven times now that I can remember right now that God saved me, delivered me, in spite of what I did to him just before that first of the seven times, you know. Whereas right after, maybe I didn't see that. I didn't see it. After I grow older, up in years, I see the things that God had mercy upon me. And it gives me hope. So then again, in the 17th and 18th verses, there's four verses that really prove his age here. But he says, 17th verse, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And boy, did he. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. So forsake me not. So how? When? He puts some time on here. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So forsake me not until I've done those things. Till I've done those. Now, you know, you probably would never know if you've done it or not. He would never be forsaken. But until, so therein in that 18th verse is the purpose of someone still living is that they're to show God, they're to show His strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Just keep showing it. Keep showing it. In the communion service, we're to show His death till He come again. So there's the time frame for that. We're to do that until Jesus Christ come again. We're to do that. When I'm gray-headed and old, forsake me not until I've shown thy strength and thy power. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? So at this point, in him proclaim, there's an exclamation point at the end of that 19th verse. Who, O God, who is like unto thee? Still, and I don't know what age he is, but being old, he still declares this with power and strength. And who's like unto thee? That is our example to continue in that. Don't let these things build on those things that happen in our lives. Don't flee from God, but go toward Him. Go to God in these things that He will deliver you. And as Brother Mark said for Sunday, that way of escape, that's presented right there, and we should take it. Now let me close with Psalm 92nd Psalm. Fourteenth verse says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Why? Why are they still here? Why is there a purpose? There's a purpose. What is it? To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. We see that. We no more tell a child, well, you can't help at church with this physical thing or whatever the case may be. They want to help. And I tried to do this in raising Andrew is as much as it changed a 5-minute chore into an hour chore. Let them help. But they want to, and they learn. Next time they do it, they're going to be better at it and all. But we would no more turn that child aside in that than we would when the elderly has a desire to help with something. Now, physically, it can be dangerous. You have to be careful. I'm not going to let just anybody of age come up and start, oh, here, let me fix that electrical outlet. And all. You have to use your brain. God gave us a mind to weigh these things. But you work that and all. But they bear fruit in old age. Maybe in a different way. Sometimes I felt like telling my mom, you know, I sure need you to keep praying for me, pray for the church and all, that I wondered if she thought, I know, that again. But it's so important, the prayers, it is. And that fervent prayer, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And He hears their prayers. And I always think of them, the aged being, okay, well, they're closer to heaven physically now than I am in their lives, chronologically, I guess I should say, and all. But I tell you what, we simply do not know that. We don't know that. We don't. Because God, and I'm thankful God is not on my timetable. It'd be all messed up. But there's certain things that we have laid out. All right, this is what's going to happen. And it doesn't always happen that way. But yet still God is in our lives. We must pray to that and in others. And we look and see and learn from the aged, from the young. And we see how the young are being taught. You correct them. There's a fine line between correcting someone, loving them, and so forth. I run around at church or something. Fine line between that and getting into someone else's business, a parent's business. They're standing right there and all. And I try to be aware of that. But being a family, being at home here like we are, that happens. And we settle it. And then we move on. But please remember this about the aged. And go back and read Psalm 71 in its entirety about that. As the psalmist was advanced in years. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We will sing a song now. Have the right hand of fellowship. If anyone has a desire to join, you let us know. And we'll wait upon you.
Please stand while we sing number 363.